Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you're with us as always. You can find us on iTunes, Audio Boom, or GolfTripX.com. Hopefully you know that by now. Darren, you can find at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram. Me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. The spelling hasn't changed in over 150 podcasts. Wherever you want to find me, that's where I will be. Hello, D. Hello, California. Today, both of us pretty excited. I'm excited to hear about it. You're excited to talk about it because we're going full sheep ranch out at Bandon today.
Oh, yes, we are. I actually thought you were going to say the spelling hasn't changed in 150 years.
That's because you are stuck in California and clearly out of your mind.
Hey, we're talking the sheep ranch. I wasn't out of my mind during that. How's that for a transition for you?
Good.
That place is out of this world. It's amazing, and we're going to dive deep into it with all manner of questions that you have and other people have asked me and things I discovered and talk a little bit about the course itself. And it's going to be fun. But first, as always, Golf Trip Experts and Golf News Net, we're taking a trip to Northern Ireland in August 2020, pandemic willing. That's a year from now. We're actually recording in August of, we're going in August 2021. It's August 2020 right now. just time flies. we're playing great courses. We're staying in great places. We're drinking great whiskey. We're going to eat haggis and sticky toffee pudding. If you're interested in getting on the list, reach out to at Ryan Ballingy on Twitter or go to golfnewsnet.com to get in on all the fun. The availability is dwindling quickly.
Yes, it is, and for good reason. It's going to be an unbelievable trip. Speaking of unbelievable trips, as we all sit wherever we are and our travels have been limited, some of us have been lucky. We've gotten to some places and get in a car, we drive. And you and your lovely wife, Jill, decided to make this trip. We had a Golf Trip X trip planned. People will remember this if they've been listening. Out to Bandon in April before the official opening of the Sheep Ranch, which was, of course, canceled and cut my heart out, where it still lies on my desk next to the piece of fescue that I took from Gamble Sands that also sits on my desk. So picture fescue, Mitch's heart, when the Bandon trip was canceled. Somehow I'm just tough and I'm keeping going. But you did something, and as we get started, Dee, what's interesting to me, you said that we're recording this in August. Not only are we recording this in August, but I'm going to really date this. It is actually Tuesday of the week that the U.S. Amateur Men's Championship is being played at Bandon Dunes.
Correct.
So I couldn't tell people. For those of us that have been there, it's a chance to go, oh, yeah. For people who haven't, who are listening to this, this is literally, you're not going to get a chance to see all the courses, but you are going to get a chance to see Bandon Dunes, certainly, which still, and I haven't played the new Sheep Ranch, but still to this day is my particular favorite course at Bandon Dunes. I'm sure they're going to show highlights to you of Bandon Trails, because that's where the early qualifying part of the US Am is. I've already seen some great stuff from there. So you, however, when you went up to Bandon, you decided to actually just totally dig into the Sheep Ranch. You did not. You've played the other courses a bunch of times.
Nice.
I think you should copyright that phrase.
Bunch of times.
Personally. Bunch of times. Especially about Bandon. But for this particular trip, you said, I'm just going to hole up at the Sheep Ranch, me and Jill in a little tent by the first tee with a lantern and some haggis and some milkshakes, and we're just going to stay here. I'm assuming that's what you did.
Oh, that's an excellent point. When I started thinking about doing this, I sat down and tried to write out and remember how many times I have been to Bandon Dunes. and you know, on whatever trip, from the very first time that Vic Williams and I went up there and just played two golf courses, to the various times we've been there for various previews and whatever, I came up with 13 trips to Bandon. And so I've seen a lot. You know, one of the reasons why we canceled the trip when we did is because we were taking Ryan Ballingy with us. He's a first timer, and we wanted to make sure that when he does go eventually, that he gets to see, you know, everything, that everything is open. Right now the bunker bar is not open. You know, there are a few things that are, they're great about Bandon that aren't, that isn't open. I'll talk about all the stuff that is though, because they're really rolling there. So I decided, well, I want to play the Sheep Ranch. And as you know, I'm a guy who likes to play courses over and over again to really get the feel of them. So it dialed into 5 rounds in 3 days. Let's just play the Sheep Ranch over and over again and see how much I like it. And it turns out I liked it a lot.
And that's kind of an understatement, which we'll get to. The thing, the one great thing, and what I'm interested, obviously, to go back, and you've done this, and there are people who have, is we got to play the Sheep Ranch when it was, I won't say it was unknown, but it was almost unknown. I mean, there were a lot of people who never really knew about the secret Sheep Ranch that we played, you know, before, where you drove up a dirt road. There was a little wooden gate that you had to have opened. There was a guy in a pickup truck and opened the gate, and in you go. And you could stay there all day at that point and just play cross-country golf. There were no markings. There were no tees, greens, in terms of marking specific holes. You did what you wanted to do. You walked, you talked, you laughed, you ate pizza, you know, you drank, you bet, you did whatever for as long as you wanted. And I obviously have played a lot of golf over my lifetime, but I still say that the experience at the early Sheep Ranch was among the most memorable that I'll ever have, until the day that I fall over and my ashes are spread on a course yet to be determined.
It was certainly as unique as anything that you'll find in golf. And, you know, I had the privilege to do it a few times, certainly the one time with you as well. You know, we would get pizza and drinks and drive up. And you mentioned the guy that you had to get to open the gate for you. That is a gentleman named Greg Harless. He is now the superintendent of the new Sheep Ranch. So there's a connection there that runs all the way through for those many years of it being mysterious, I guess is probably the best word. You had to kind of know somebody. There was a time before I actually got Greg's direct line that you had to go to Bandon Golf Supply in town and kind of, you know, have the secret handshake. And then those people made a call for you. And it was an amazing experience to do it that way. And I had a little trepidation about what they would do, you know, how it would destroy that in a way with building a real course there. But what Coren Crenshaw did to route the golf course and to create the experience they did, you know, I mean, spoiler alert, you're going to hear me talk a lot about that. It's one of my favorite golf courses in the world now.
I particularly like that whole Bandon Supply and going and the secret handshake and then that nighttime full moon, you know, sheep's blood ceremony that we had to do.
Well, you were talking about sitting at the first tee, my wife and I staying, you know, living on the first tee, eating haggis and drinking milkshakes. It's actually eating lamb stew. Lamb stew is the thing to eat at the Sheep Ranch. And I honestly, Mitch, I'm not sure. I've heard people say it differently. I don't know if you're supposed to use the when you say Sheep Ranch. I think it's like Foo Fighters. It's not the Foo Fighters. It's just Foo Fighters. I think that's how they want Sheep Ranch referred to from everything I've read. But lamb stew, which is one of my favorite dishes at McKee's for years in McKee's Pub, they're selling it at Sheep Ranch with both in the clubhouse and out at the turnstand. And so I could pitch a tent right there up by the first tee and just eat lamb stew for 3 days and just play golf.
And I love that they're serving it at the turn too. at the halfway point.
At the turn stands fantastic. I got a cup of it on the final round because I didn't realize that until I think the third or fourth round that they did it. And so on the final round, the final morning, I got a cup and at the turn and just walked along, you know, sipping lamb stew. And there are very few golf courses in America where you can get soup or a version of soup at the turn stand and just kind of, and it done well enough where you can just sip it as you go along. You know, like Monterey Peninsula Country Club is famous for that. But I mean, just being able to do it there, it's one of those things. It's like us getting hot chocolate and Fireball, mm-hmm. which they also have the hot chocolate machine at Sheep Ranch that they have at all the other golf courses that makes the best hot chocolate in the world, this silky, smooth hot chocolate that we like to add Fireball to. So I drank plenty of that as well. But that little bit of stew on a cold, foggy morning was the perfect thing.
And that's the great thing about it. The weather there often is chilly. I mean, yes. It's not downright cold and windy, but what a great thing. You know, I don't know if when you were here at Caledonia, I don't know if the chowder was available when you were
it
here.
It was.
But, I mean, that's another one where you drive past that little shack on the way to the first tee or at the turn and you can get some chowder.
Yep.
All good stuff. But I know you could talk about food for 6 hours straight. But let's dive into the actual golf course and kind of give people an idea about what's going on there. There's some things that remain, some of the touchstones that we talked about before. Tell us about those.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. As a guy who had been out there to what we'll call the old Sheep Ranch, the original Sheep Ranch, three or four times, as you're playing this new routing, you realize that you're in some spots you're playing over greens that did exist. You're playing to some of the greens that really are largely unchanged. Certainly, Core Crenshaw, you know, came in and did their work on them to improve them, but the actual locations are in the same spots. The biggest thing is, I mean, the clubhouse is kind of where we used to park when we would come in and be up at the top of the hill. It was the perfect place. And then you kind of descended down into this bowl. Beautiful thing about the Sheep Ranch, and for anybody who's played, let's say, Old Mac, once you go over the first dune of Old Mac, it just kind of opens up into this expanse for you. Well, almost the entire Sheep Ranch is that way. You start at the high point, and you can see a long way on all these holes. So you kind of dive down into that. There was a hole, a green called the E green, because all the greens were lettered at the Sheep Ranch in the old version. And it was, and I've said this on the podcast, I've said it in print, possibly the best location for a green anywhere in the world. It just hangs on the cliff's edge and just tumbles straight down when you go look off the edge, down to the sand and the beach and the rocks below. That is now the 16th hole. It's a tricky little oceanfront three par that you have to kind of test the wind on. It has a big dune to the right, so it's kind of like you're hitting through a funnel. In a way, it feels like a small version of the tee shot at Tobacco Road, the opening tee shot, you know, where you're just kind of hitting through that little V, except mm-hmm. that the left-hand side of the V is just drops straight off into the ocean. And it's fun. But they created an upper half to that double green. It made it a double green, created an upper half. And that is the par 3 third that kind of plays down. It's a little short, delicate shot. And you find a lot of golf balls from the third ending up down on the part of the 16th. We were putting one day, one afternoon round, and here came a ball, you know, that rolled right past our golf carts and across our green and then into the rough and the high grass right there, you know, just got saved from going in the ocean. So you kind of get to watch when you're on the 16th, you get to watch the people on three who might hit it a little bit long. That said, they did a tremendous job with that double green of making it something fun and something you see twice in the round. Two other greens that are there at the very south end of the property. There's the par 4 6, which has the best tee shot on the golf course. You tee off from this little ledge, basically, and hit it over the cliffs to this green. And then there's an elevated green there that they really did a nice job of the work they did on. That's a super fun hole, and that's an original green site. And then that's followed up by the par 3 7th, which is a short kind of drop shot with ocean beyond and the cliffs. And it made me feel like you can relate to this, the short ninth at Cabot Cliffs, where, you know, you're just trying to figure out the yardage on that short shot, but you're kind of dazzled by the view beyond. It really feels a lot like that, which is another Cork Crenshaw golf course. So, you know, you can see the comparison. So many good holes, and you know, a little later we'll talk about a couple others that really caught my attention. But what I love about it is there's no bad holes. I can quibble with at least one golf hole on all the other courses at Bandon, and I can't at the Sheep Ranch. I mean, yeah, I can't at the Sheep Ranch. Even my least favorite hole, which was the 12th, is the one that you get back up to the clubhouse and you have to go back down into the bowl, would still be the best hole on most golf courses in America. So, you know, it's nice to have that. It's got a great rhythm. It's got a great flow to it. And what I really loved is I never got bored. There's no point in the round do I get bored at all. And that's really, I think, the test of a great golf course.
Not once in five rounds?
Not once in five rounds did I get bored. I was constantly looking ahead. You know, the first time you're just out there, hey, what's to come? And you've got that excitement of the unknown. But after that, then, you know, you're looking ahead to holes you remember and holes you think to yourself, I did this yesterday and I need to approach this way today. Or the wind's blowing differently. Or one morning we played in complete marine layer where, you know, you could barely see. And so that, you know, that adds a whole nother level to the Bandon experience, which I love. You know, some people, it's a little bit of a bummer if you're only playing Sheep Ranch for, you know, one time on your trip to Bandon and you get marine layered out the entire time. You don't ever see the ocean. But for me, I love the adventure at Bandon because the weather is so much of that adventure, and it changes the golf course every day. And, you know, makes you just have to anticipate in a whole new way every time you step on the golf course.
And adapt to it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is great. Let's move to something that when I first saw this, and I don't remember who at first kind of broke this and wrote about it, but let's talk about the bunkers. Because they made a decision, obviously, to go ahead and have bunkers with no sand. Anybody who's read about Sheep Ranch knows that that was a choice. And I'm interested to hear how you found that. I personally loved the idea, not just because I'm a shitty bunker player, but there's plenty of bunkers everywhere else at Bandon, obviously. This sets it apart right away. But talk about that, how it affected your round.
Well,
did you like it? Did you find it really bizarre?
I loved it. It's interesting because when I heard about it, I thought to myself that everything would be more kind of running fairways with little hollows in place of bunkers. You know, I thought it would be more depressions and that type of thing, which you see on links courses, you know, in the UK and to an extent, sometimes on the Bandon courses. What I didn't realize, and now I know, is that they still shaped the golf course like they were creating bunkers. So they dug out spots. They have, you know, flash face bunkers, all those types of things. They just didn't fill them with sand. So instead, they put the sprayed hydroseed or whatever, however they do it in there, and grew grass in those bunkers instead. And so it's not really accurate to say there are no bunkers. It's really more accurate to say there's no sand. And, you know, these bunkers, there, some of them are beautifully carved, and just like they would be on other golf courses. And in some ways that makes them more difficult and less consistent, because I'll tell you, if you get into one where someone else has been, it's not like it's raked now. You know, you might end up in a divot in one of these bunkers facing a lip. I put a picture up on the 13th of a flop I had to hit over the lip of one of these things, and it's not an easy task. So they're just as penal in many ways. And a guy I played with said he feels like that probably the really good players would rather have sand because right. You at least know what your consistency is, you know, coming out of them and how to play them. So I think it's super fun and a super, you know, really great way to build this golf course. Also, it's perfect timing in the age of COVID because there's no rakes out there to mess with. It's good from a pace of play standpoint. You're not having to rake bunkers. I'm sure the caddies love it. To me, I can see building golf courses in the future that are in this model because I think bunkers are overrated a lot of times anyway. You know, a golf hole's design that makes it good is, you know, in how you approach shots and where the trouble is, not exactly what that trouble is.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's the same, you know, that kind of theory of, let's say, Pinehurst number two, where you don't need, there are bunkers, mm-hmm. obviously, but the shots around the greens at number two test you way more than a bunker shot.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about.
I was joking with someone the other day, though, that I kind of wish Bill and Ben had put one bunker on the entire golf course. And that way, if you got into that bunker, then when you're sitting around the pub or whatever afterward, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I was in the bunker today.
See, I would purposely hit it in there just to be able to say that.
I'm sure you would. You know, and then you take many shots accurate. To get out of it.
No, but I'm so accurate, I'd probably aim for it and then for the only time not get it. So, all right, let's talk about just a few of the holes. Obviously, you could go through the whole thing, but I'm not letting you do that. People are going to have to go and experience it. But talk about a few of the holes.
Speaking of that, though, I'm going to put up on golftripx.com, shameless plug. I did something with this golf course I've never done with any golf course that I've ever played, and that I ranked all 18 holes from my favorite to my least favorite. And I've already mentioned that my least favorite was the 12th, which is still a great golf hole. And it's a list. So when we make lists, you know, you have to put things in order. So there's going to be a best, there's going to be a worst. I want people who have played the Sheep Ranch to discover this list over the years moving forward and quibble with it all they want to. I'm gonna put that up, and that way you can kind of get my thoughts on every hole, all 18 holes. But we can dive into a few. You got any suggestions?
Okay. Are you going to put pictures up of the holes?
I'm going to put some pictures up, but probably not all of them, unfortunately. Not yet.
Darn you. Yeah. Darn you, Darren Bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, we need we might have to wait until Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, drink mm-hmm. Goes with us on a trip.
Well, that's the trip that we're going to take, the three of us, Ballingy, that's going to be epic.
Yes.
We'll get so much content done that people are going to be watching it for 5 years. All right, talk a few holes. Let's. I know you. We were talking, and you had told me about the ninth, which is a par four. Tell us about that green and kind of what makes that hole special.
Yeah, that's one of the things about the course is when it moves inland, and we'll talk about the 11th as well, but the 8th hole kind of moves you back toward the forest, and then the 9th has a great, great tee shot kind of over the edge of a canyon, I guess, back there. And then you play back toward the ocean. What I love about the 9th is when you get up around the green, it's got this great bank, kind of side bank on the right-hand side, and you're playing to the ocean. It almost feels like an infinity green, and, you know, you can play so many different shots. It's a longer hole, so you might be hitting, you know, for us, we're probably hitting Hickory Woods into that hole from where we are, but they gave you a lot of ways to find the green. And, I absolutely love that. And by the time I was on my fourth and fifth round, I started realizing, that's the play. You know, try to hit a cool shot down the right side that then takes that bank and moves, toward the hole. And so It's also just a beautiful kind of sight there. The ninth, the holes I mentioned earlier, the sixth and seventh, all those greens are kind of all there together on the southern end of the property. And it's a really cool place to hang out. When in the pictures, people who follow me on Instagram and saw a lot of the pictures I put up, a lot of them came from that corner, because you could actually see across the little gully there, you can see the halfway house at Old Mac right over there. And so, you know, it's a fun part of the property, but it's all, you know, fun. And, you know, that leads us to the par 5 11th. And, you know, I've heard other people talk about this hole. It blew my mind in terms of, it's entirely possible that somebody could argue that the best golf hole at the entire resort is a par 5 inland where you don't see the ocean for the most part while you're playing the hole. That's how good the design of this par 5 is. I've told you before, it kind of reminds me, it feels very Strancian. It feels like something you'd find on one of Mike Strance's courses. The third shot or the second shot for big hitters is in this bowl just below the clubhouse. The whole point of this golf hole is to get you back to the clubhouse after the 11th. And you kind of hit it into this bowl. You hit it through a neck, like I was talking about. They have a couple spots like that where you're hitting it through these little necks. But if you miss, you know, you're dealing with trouble like you do on Strance courses, like you do on a lot of Core Crenshaw courses, to be honest. And so it is just a super fun golf hole that didn't need the ocean. It doesn't have to be right by the ocean spray. It's taking you back up that. The bowl itself has the green, but also has a lot of room around it. So it's short game heaven up there. And then you get up there to the top and you see a glimpse of the ocean. You look back over the 13th green and off and you see the entire property. And, you know, to me, I think, like I said, you could make the argument. I'm not ready to do it yet, but a person could make the argument that the 11th is the best golf hole, just pure golf hole on the entire resort. And wow, that's saying something.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, there's more than a few holes on that resort, from what I hear. Let's talk for a minute about trees.
Yes.
Because there are obviously great trees all around the resort. There are single trees on the resort that are pretty famous, I dare say. Certainly, we've got the tree on Old Mac, which has been off.
The ghost tree,
oft photographed. I have about, I don't know, probably 30 pictures of that tree
yep.
on my phone. But there's also a great tree at Sheep Ranch. And I've seen a lot of pictures of that. You put up some really great ones. Tell us about the 17th.
Yeah, well, you have the Lone Tree. You know, you talk about trees. You have the Lone Tree at Bandon that kind of started it all. I think Matt Janella may have gotten married under it. I don't remember the entire thing. Mm-hmm. Sheep Ranch, there's not a lot of trees on the Sheep Ranch in spots. Some of it, as you get back up to the forest, obviously you have a lot of trees that you see in the background. But as far as trees on the actual golf holes, the 17th, and you'll remember this from being on the property, when we were down on that northern end, kind of down where you can see the house, there's a house just off Sheep Ranch property that somebody owns and hasn't sold to the Kaisers yet. When you're down in that corner, there were these old, they're kind of ghost trees, but they're scraggly, you know, they're like one-armed men, basically. They have these long arms. I have a great picture of our buddy Eric Hart climbing one of them, which we thought was insane at the time that we were out there. But he's insane, so, you know, it makes sense. He started just
Perfect.
Climbing up at like a, you know, like a billy goat, and I was like, dude, I just, all I could see was disaster happening, but it turned out for a great picture. So, so one of those exists still in the actual original spot. And then they left a couple more to kind of frame the 17th green. And then I was told by a caddy that they moved one of them. And that you can tell that they moved it by the fact that the branches on it go the opposite direction of all the other branches of the trees in that part of the property. And so that's how you know, because the wind hits it and makes these trees grow a certain direction. And because when they replanted it, they turned it the other way. You can tell that that's one that wasn't there in that spot originally, which I thought was kind of an interesting point. So, but they framed the 17th, and 17th is a fabulous golf hole. In fact, there is a championship tee box on the 16th green. So just at the edge where we used to stand and look down onto the beach, that is the championship tee box to the 17th hole. And we used to hit that shot when we would go out there on the original Sheep Ranch, because it's nothing but carry over beach and ocean and hillside and to try to find the fairway. So I think the 17th is just a phenomenally good hole. It's a little bit shorter when you play it from the normal tees. The green is not nearly as severe as anything, but it's an incredibly visual hole because of those trees. It just makes it fantastic. And one thing I want to mention, just going back to the 11th, Michael Chupka, who's the great PR and marketing guy there at Bandon, I played a little bit with him. He brought his hickories out. If you remember Mitch, a couple years ago, I went and played and I loaned him some hickories, and he played his first round with the hickories out at Old Mac, and we had a great time. Well, Michael Howe has his own hickories. He has gone full hickory. He brings them out and plays occasionally with them. And so he played 11 holes with me one day while I was out there, and was telling me about the 11th, that the amount of earth moving that had to be done to make the 11th even work is fascinating. So if somebody's out there and once you've played that hole, ask around about how much fill they had to do to keep the third shot up to the clubhouse and that bowl green from being just straight up a mountain. Like it was so severe that then they had to come in and fill and make it gradually, you know, so that the walk didn't just absolutely kill you trying to go up that hill. And what the remarkable thing, as is the case with so many core Crenshaw properties, is it doesn't feel manufactured in any way. And, you know, when he told me that, I was like, I just assumed that the golf hole was kind of that way when they got it, you know, when they found it and realized this is what we have to do in the routing. And it turns out they had to do a ton of work on that hole to construct it. And it feels like it's been there forever.
So they did a ton of work to make it feel like it's been
there. I know, exactly. All genius. All to save your little legs when you're walking the golf course.
Well, that's a great thing. We owe them. We should all write cards to Bill and Ben. Let's talk about the last hole before we talk about some of the other features of Sheep Ranch. But 18th holes are so important because obviously, unless you play multiple rounds over the course of a day, it's the last time you're going to be on that golf course. You want to think about it. There's holes that we all love as 18th holes. And from what you've told me, the 18th at Sheep Ranch is one that you take away because they've done a great thing. It's another par five. But tell us about that hole and why it's so special and kind of the beautiful thing about that par five.
Well, it's a par 4.5, and you know all the golf architecture. What does McClay Kidd call them? The nerds, golf nerds, architecture nerds. Yep. You know they all love the halves. You know, three par 3.5s, par 4.5s. It's clearly a par 4.5, and it does something. The same thing that McClay Kidd does at Gamble Sands, in that if you play the hole correctly, you have a chance to walk off the golf course with a birdie, with a relatively good chance at birdie and a somewhat good chance at even making eagle. And so it's one of those holes that gives you the opportunity to just have that great rush at the end of a round, and that makes you want to go back right back out and play golf. And so it's a par five. It starts way down near the ocean, by where you go from the first green to the second tee. And the first two rounds I played it played downwind somewhat significantly. And so I hit a great tee shot there the first time I played it. And I got up there and I, you know, got my yardage rangefinder out and started looking, and I put it on the flag and I was like, well, that's not right. And then I put it on the flag again and I was like, well, that's not right. It was reading 157 yards to the pin after my tee shot. So then I started walking around and looking for markers in the fairway, and I came upon one that said 160 yards. And I was like, so I looked at the caddy who was in this with the other guys in this group, and I said, this isn't a par five, right? He goes, no, it is. And I had hit it in the perfect spot up the left side. I had missed the green, the grass bunkers, and it had rolled out, you know, using the wind, and I had basically 160 yards to a tough pin that's tucked behind one of these very big grass bunkers, but it's got a backboard behind it, and it's really it's just a shot you can go after. And so I fired one in there and ended up with about 20 feet for eagle, and couldn't have been happier. And I did the same thing the second round. And so, but then the wind changed and didn't have quite the help. And so then it became longer shots, but I had a birdie look, I think all five rounds on the 18th, and you can't ask for anything. I played it well pretty much every day. And, you know, it's just so much fun to have golf holes like that where you walk off the golf course. And I guess there's a disappointment possibly because once you know it's a short par five and it's gettable, then if you don't get it, you know, you have that letdown, you know, that kind of hilarious letdown where you're like, oh man, how did I only make par there? And, you know, you feel like a tour player in a way, you know, when those guys walk off and they're mad about, you know, making a five on a par five. But you also have these opportunities to just hit cool shots in. And then if you can roll in a putt, you know, really have a memorable finish to the day. And I can't think of a better way to end the round on that golf course than with that 18th that essentially is just a par five that plays back up a hill.
And I love that idea. I mean, that whole idea to me is brilliant. Speaking of brilliant, talk about at the beginning, we talked about the notion of this big wide open field, essentially playground.
Yes.
If you will, that had to be routed, that actually was no longer a cross country course, but they actually made the decision to say, where do we want these holes? And you thought the routing was brilliant.
Yeah. And I think from what I've heard, and I haven't confirmed this with the people at Bandon, but you know, the story out there, you know, for years, Gil Hance was attached to this project. And when it became closer, Phil Friedman wanted to get it done. You know, he's getting up in age. He's part owner on the Sheep Ranch property. That I think Bill Corr came out and found a routing that made so much sense that I think, you know, what I understand is that that's kind of what helped them get the job. And it really, it does a nice job in that you move out, you play to the ocean, you move back in, you play back out to the ocean. There's a great rhythm, I said earlier, about that part of it. They also put a halfway house that's not halfway, obviously. It's in this spot where you go through it multiple times. You know, there are a lot of greens that are somewhat close to each other. I talk about how great the ninth is. If you miss right going to the ninth green, you're yelling four to the guys on the eighth tee. So it's a small piece of property. We've talked about that in the past. This was not a big expansive stretch where they could do anything they wanted to. They had to find a way to fit it onto this property that is, you know, confined on essentially three sides, because you've got the gully that runs between it and Old Mac. You've got the ocean obviously to the west, and up at the north, you've got the property that has the house on it. So, you know, it's the ability to not only get 18 holes in there that made sense, but get 18 holes in there that were fun and creative, you know, is really something. And it's a 34, 38, you know, routing. So it's, the both nines from a scoring standpoint feel wildly different, because you go out and you put up a really good number on the front nine, and then you realize, oh, it's a par 34. So maybe that number's not as good as I thought it was. And then you got to put up an even better number on the par 38 side. So I really think what they did there, I don't know if anybody else could have come up with what was done there. I'm sure a lot of guys would have liked to try, and probably multiple architects did go in there and give it their whirl. But Cor Crenshaw really figured out the puzzle, and you know, the result is fantastic.
We mentioned the facility itself. Everything at Bandon is off the charts great, every aspect of it. So the Sheep Ranch moves in. and now we have a new clubhouse. And how does it fit in with the feel of the whole place? I know it's not real close. It's a little bit away from the other courses.
Yeah, that was my question. We rolled in late one night, and I actually had to call the front desk to ask, how do I get to Sheep Ranch the next morning? Because the way we did it, we always went outside the resort and got on what is called Seven Devils Road and drove down, and then found that little dirt road that you were talking about. Yep. that then had the gate on it. But what they did here is they just extended the road to Old Mac. But the extension is long. They had to pave a lot of road, Mitch. You really have to, it's a drive. Mm-hmm. Or you take the shuttle, obviously, which is what most people would do. But during COVID, I wasn't about to do that. So I hopped in the car and went back and forth each day. So it's a long ways down there. You know, what's great about the Kaiser properties is when they built Bandon Dunes, and McClay Kidd talks about this all the time, that it's a, they didn't know what they were going to, what they were doing at the beginning. They didn't know whether they were going to serve hamburgers or cheeseburgers, or if they were just going to sell beer in a bottle. You know, they had no idea. And they have learned so much from that moment of this, the evolution of this resort and Sand Valley and the other things that they've worked on, that really the devil is in the details for them now. They get the details better at their properties than almost anywhere else. And so, you know, out there, they knew that they needed to do some things out at Sheep Ranch. It has its own driving range out there. I think it was Shane Bacon and Joel Klatt talking about it on their podcast when they had been there, that they didn't realize there was a driving range out there. So they went cold to the first tee. You know, it's got putting greens out there. The clubhouse itself is, it's not big, but it has a great outside. It has a great hang spot, as you like to call it. It's the first thing I did when I got on property the morning I was going to play, was I walked out to the side that overlooks the 18th green and out toward the ocean. There's a fire pit out there. I took a video of it. I sent it to Eric and said, look, this is, you know, they get it right. And there are people out there. I mentioned, you know, the 11th comes back up to the clubhouse. There are people in chairs out there, kind of a la Sand Valley, outside Craig's Porch. People who watch people come in on the 11th, watch people tee off on the 12th. You can see a lot of the property. So the clubhouse, just as a meeting area, is a very cool place. The pro shop itself, golf shop itself, is has all the stuff you need, but it's not overly huge. And it's got a small snack shop in there as well, kind of like Old Mac does. And then certainly, you know, the comfort station, which we've talked about, me indulging in the stew and hot chocolate. So it's it's really well designed. And I knew it was going to be away from the, you know, that's just where the property is. It takes a little while to get there. You can't build everything within walking distance of the first, of the original clubhouse. It's just, that's not the way it works when you've built your sixth golf course on the property. So the way they've laid it out is really good. And I think most people will find it to be seamless. And I'm pretty sure that's their, you know, that's their mentality at this point, is they want it to be as seamless as possible.
Yeah, and you can't have something called a ranch and have it just be right in the middle of the property. Come on, man. You got to feel like you're going somewhere. Let's talk about where you stayed. We've all stayed in great places there. You stayed at some place called the Lily Pond. Very delicate. Was it a delicate place to stay?
Very delicate is not really the word I have for it. The Lily Pond was the first place I ever stayed on my very first trip so long ago. They've done lots of upgrades to the rooms over the years, and really it's a great setting. All the rooms at Bandon now, they've taken a lot of feedback over the years, not just from me, but from other golf writers. There's that infamous story about not having stoppers in the sinks because one of the guys, something about how he shaves or whatever. Lily Pond is great. I would recommend you get a top floor room if you don't want to go up and down the stairs. I was lugging a lot of gear up and down stairs.
Isn't the top floor room
up
at the top of the stairs?
No, because you come in on the top level and they go down the stairs to the bottom level, which actually sits at the Lily Pond level. It's a great setting there. It's really peaceful out there in the back. Got the pond right outside, and it's just, I've said it before, you can't go wrong with any of the lodging now. We've stayed in the Grove Cottages, which is the kind of the high end for a 4-guy buddy trip, stayed upstairs above the Tufted Puffin where you just overlook the 18th Abandoned Dunes, which is, fantastic. But not something most people can afford. It's a really well done. I think the strength of the Bandon lodging game now is that there are so many options that you can kind of choose what works for your budget and for your comfort level. And if you're two guys who are traveling together and you want to share the costs, doubling up in a room, you can do that. If you're a guy like me who wants his own room, you can do that. And this was one of the first times that I can remember that I was on the property during high season. Usually we're going in the shoulder seasons, or we're going in winter like we did the year it snowed. Being there in high season, it's expensive. But when you look at it in comparison to, some of the other expensive golf resorts in this country, or if you had to pay for a flight to go overseas and go play expensive places, Bandon can be affordable in a lot of ways.
Let's talk, since we're talking about different times when we've been there and different seasons and everything, I'll group this whole 2020 experience into, I'm just going to call it the season from hell, because that's kind of how I feel. But you did get to go. So just talk briefly about Bandon during the pandemic. I know they're doing pretty well. I know people are still going. If you're lucky enough to be in driving distance, I know if I were, I'd be there. Just talk about what's going on during the pandemic and how the resort's dealing with it.
Well, as you know, I take the pandemic pretty seriously, probably more serious than most people. And it was a tough decision for my wife and I to decide, let's get in the car and go somewhere where we're going to encounter people. The best description I've heard of talking about the pandemic is you want to limit the number of breaths that you share with other people. And I think that's an interesting way to look at it. And we took that approach where on the way up and the way back, we stayed in hotels that, had touchless essentially contactless check-in. We stayed in Holiday Inn Expresses up and down. We clean our own rooms, which is probably overboard. We're not having housekeeping come in while we're there. So I take it seriously. And what I was impressed by is Bandon does as well. I mean, everybody's wearing masks on the indoor spaces. I didn't have to go in to check out, which was nice, I did. I thought I would, but they, I called and asked the question. They said, "Oh no, you don't need to come in. They send you everything electronically." And what we've talked about before, there's no reason when you're playing golf, there's no reason for anybody to be within 6 feet of you. So, you can get through life without getting within 6 feet of people for the most part. So Bandon with their cleaning, with the masks, the starters, the rangers, all the comfort station personnel were all masked up. They're getting ready to host the USAM, as you mentioned. They had all manner of testing protocols for that, including what I heard. There were tests mailed home to the participants, and then they're tested again when they get there. So they're doing it right. I didn't do any dining in dining while I was there. I'm not ready to, you know, just like I'm not ready to get on a plane yet, I'm not ready to go sit in a restaurant with other people either. But their restaurants were open, which is a difference between where I live here in California and up in Oregon. You can't dine inside here in California right now. But they had inside dining, and, you know, groups would get together and still have their group meal and take their masks off for that point. And I'm assuming at that point, you know, those guys are in their own bubble, so to speak. And, you know, if you're going to sit across the table from each other in that kind of a setting, you know, you probably are getting it from each other some other way, you know, before that. But, you know, it seemed like they did a really good job with it. At McKee's, you know, across, when you go in the door at McKee's, they have another kind of banquet meeting room on the other side of that little hallway. And what they did at McKee's was they social distanced the space. They took out tables in the main dining room and then put tables over there as well. And so they were able to space people out but still have the same occupancy or similar occupancy. I'm not positive it's the same. So it really showed me that they thought about it. And at the same time, you know, the guests who are going there, I wish they would take it a little bit more serious than as serious as the rest of us are trying to take it, and places like Bannon are trying to take it. Because anytime you try to go into a place, you're not wearing a mask, anytime you're, just lazy about the whole process of social distancing, you're not just putting people like me at risk and you at risk, but you're putting the people who are working there, who are trying, going to work every day to provide an amazing experience for you, you're putting them at risk. And so, I was incredibly impressed by the way they did it and the lengths they went to. And I can't speak of Bandon highly enough right now. If I could go back, if I could have stayed another 5 days, I would have. If I could go back next week, I would. It's an amazing place. And even during the pandemic with a few things closed, it's still an amazing place.
It sure sounds like it. I'm jealous. I'm sitting here. All right. Let's talk about another thing that I'm jealous of, which we have to get to you, which is food. Takeout, which is a part of this experience now, in not just at golf resorts, but for most of us in a lot of places. But I know you loved it. I don't know how many places you don't love. That would be more the list for me when it comes to food. But I know that you were really impressed with the way they're taking care of the food situation.
Yeah. Well, they're offering takeout from all the restaurants. And for me, that was perfect because Jill and I are doing takeout all the time, almost everywhere we go. And when we're at home a lot anyway, but what was great about the takeout at Bandon was it allowed me to kind of do my own progressive dinner. And so I could hit the highlights of all the different restaurants that I liked. So the first night that we had dinner, I ordered seafood chowder from Pacific Grill, which I absolutely love. It's one of my favorite dishes. And then not knowing that there was lamb stew at the Sheep Ranch, I ordered lamb stew from McKee's. Jill got a couple of different things from both of those places. And then I just made a big loop and went and picked it all up, came back, ate it outside overlooking the lily pond. The only downfall of that is it's hard to get a root beer float and take out if you're going to not eat it right away.
I'm surprised you didn't just leave.
Or a Guinness float, as our friend Ryan Hyman and those guys like to indulge in. So the takeout for me was great, and I was glad to hear. I asked in advance whether they were doing that, and I was glad to hear it. And I might do it more now, even when we're staying. Like if we're staying in the Grove Cottages, and we're and it's late, on those nights where Brian's out shooting, and now he's going to be shooting after dark because of Golf Illuminated. We might just go get our food and bring it back to the Grove Cottage and eat and. Watch TV or whatever. There is something special about the group setting in the restaurants at Bandon, but I saw another side of that through the takeout and realized this is something we should probably take advantage of more often.
Yeah. And I mean, that all makes total sense. I think certain ways we're all having to change our approach. I know I miss the social aspect of eating out and being with, especially on trips like this.
Sure.
But you can still have the social experience if you're together, just not in the, some of the restaurants obviously are fantastic. The atmosphere in them and feeling like you're actually still at the golf course is a big deal, but
Well, especially at
I get
Pacific
it.
Grill, where you know you
Yeah,
got the punch
Pacific
bowl
Grill
right
is off the
outside, and
charts. Right.
people are going in and out, and they're out there drinking, and they were still doing that when I picked up my chowder. You know, there was a lot of people on the punch
Of
bowl, and
course they were.
yeah. So I no, it's you know the other thing about the Bandon experience, and I play a lot of golf alone. A lot of golf as a single, and you know I've kind of been working on various stories over the years about what that's like, because I think there are some people who won't do it. Some people have to have other people in the group with them, people they know. But for me, there's no better place than Bandon for that. You know, the people you get paired with are always fun. They're the people who love the game. They love everything Bandon represents. You know, I've been with guys who are there for the first time. I've been stuck into, I was the eighth man in a seven-man group 1 year of guys who have been coming since it began, since the original course. They've been doing it every year. And so, you know, and I've had nights where I've sat in those restaurants, and Pacific Grills especially. I remember a night where I sat in there just listening to the groups of conversations, you know, what you're talking about, that camaraderie. And I know most people don't want to do it, and probably seems like a complete, you know, I say this, and there's people who are listening who are like, man, I would never do that. But when you go to these places by yourself, or you're forced to in some cases, in what I do, the people you meet are the best stories. They're the things you remember. You know, the golf courses are great, the resort is great. But I really believe that at these kinds of destination clubs, that the people you meet really help build those memories. And sure, you're going to run into an asshole here and there, you know, over the years. But by and large, I'd say 95% of the people I've run into at Bandon Dunes have been fantastic and just absolutely fun people. Some people I still text with today. And you know, so take your own group, or if you have a chance and you're going through like I was in this case. And you just want to go play alone and meet new people, go do that, because it's a great place for it.
See, and I think the important thing, and it's all about attitude, obviously. But you know, if you're going as a single to Bandon, you're going with that as part of your attitude.
Yes.
Let's see who I can meet, because they're all going to be passionate about golf. You're not at Bandon unless your heart and soul is in the game. This isn't just a casual, I'm going to grab a cart and seven beers and go out and have some fun.
Right.
It's not that kind of place. So. All right. This has been fascinating for me. Obviously, I can't wait to get out there. I would say everything about it seems like they're doing it right. I know we're going to get with Ryan and get him out there as a first timer. And we were so looking forward to that, to see it through the eyes of somebody who hasn't been there. But we will get to do that again. And I'm really glad, even though I hate you for it, I'm really glad that you had the chance to go and dive into it this way. I think it's great you did it.
Well, and if there's a takeaway for anybody who's stuck with us for an hour through this thing, you know, it's my favorite at the resort. I've decided that. And that's no knock on the other golf courses. They're all wonderful. That is what makes Bandon special, that we talk about it all the time. If you ask people who have played them all, how you rank them. You know, you ask 10 people, you're going to get 10 different answers. And that's even more so now with probably Sheep Ranch in the mix. But if you can get there safely, Bandon is still as welcoming and as wonderful as it's always been, even with a few coronavirus twists in there. And man, you have to go see it. If you've been to Bandon and you didn't see the Sheep Ranch, and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to wait a while, don't. Like, find a way to go get there, because it's definitely worth the attraction. And I would say, if you've played the others before, try to play Sheep Ranch at least twice, because it really continues to grow on you as you go hole by hole a second time.
Boy, does that sound familiar. How many times have we said that about golf courses? Yep. And I said it at the top of the show, with the USAM there and people going to get a chance to see what we keep talking about Bandon visually, that's going to draw people, I think. I think it's going to be huge as far as Bandon goes, and the people that are going to make the trip, a big trip, that are going to hop in the car and say, okay, this looks so special, I'm willing to drive a couple days to get there if I have to.
Yep.
I think it's going to be great.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Obviously couldn't do it without you. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us on iTunes, hit us on the socials at Golf Trip Experts with your questions, your comments, pretty much anything you want to say or talk about. And when we say anything, we mean anything. I hope that hooks people. Of course, we talk about the world of golf travel, but Darren and I are both pretty open talking about everything. Thanks for joining us. You know, Darren got to do this trip to the Sheep Ranch. I have been sitting in Myrtle Beach as he's going around five times in 3 days just dreaming. That's what I was doing. I was right there with him, but it was all a dream. Hopefully you're having a great dream right now, and you will continue to dream and get out to follow him. Thanks. Talk to you soon. So long.
Are you gone? Have you fallen asleep?